I am really delighted to invite Bruce McKenna to come up and share the word with us today. And I get to hear it twice. So come on up, Bruce.
Before I begin, Catherine and I want to thank you for your prayers for Mary Lee while she was in the hospital. We want to thank you for the thoughtful notes and cards sent after she died. We want to thank you for your words of support and comfort as we grieve. And we want to thank you for your ongoing prayers and support. Your prayers make a difference. Thank you. We'll just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that it would speak to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being here with us as we worship you. And so, Holy Spirit, may your word come alive and live in each one of us. And I do pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The reading from Philippians this morning began with the word, therefore. Whenever I see the word, therefore, in the Bible, I have to look back to see, well, what was happening before the therefore? So what did Paul write shortly before he said that word? So in chapter 3, in verse 8, he writes that all the things that he thought were God-breathed in his life were meaningless after he met Jesus. He wrote, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing, not knowing about, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He may have been reflecting about his conversion, which you can read about in Acts 9. That conversion about knowing Jesus and Jesus knowing him was personal. And they had a very deep relationship. So that's the first thing. And then when he and when we respond to Jesus' amazing love for us, Paul wrote this, he wrote this in Corinthians, but if anyone is in Christ, she or he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And all this is from God. I just think that's wonderful that the old really is God and the new has gone and the new has come. And one of the results is this, our first hymn, rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. And with thanksgiving, who desires to have this new life in us. We soon learn, though, that we're on a journey, a lifelong journey with Jesus. And we, like Paul, discover that our relationship with Jesus is like a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's not easy. It's hard. And it's costly. That's why in the just before the therefore, Paul says he's not perfect. He makes mistakes. But he says, I press on. I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. And so does every Christian. But there's even more. Paul writes, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies, this one, so that we will be like his glorious body. Christians are citizens of heaven now. And we look forward to our resurrection from the dead, just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And as I was preparing this sermon, writing this, I found my heart just kind of lifted and going, wow, look at all this. Look at all these things that God does for us. It is truly amazing. And I hope you are feeling some of that as well. Jesus desires to have a personal relationship with us. And when we turn to him in faith, the old really is gone. The new has come. We are new creations. And so we, like Paul, press on our journey with Jesus throughout our lives because we are citizens of heaven. And we look forward to the time when Jesus will come again and we will be with him with a real body. So all this is before, therefore. And now we go into the therefore. So therefore, with all of this, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. We are to stand firm in the Lord in all the things that I have said. Stand firm. And he calls them dear friends. Paul longed to be with the Philippians, but he was under house arrest, probably in Rome, so he couldn't go anywhere. It was a cry of his heart, I think. And he was under arrest because of his faith, because he was a Christian. Nonetheless, he says we are to stand firm in the Lord in this way. Then he shows us how. Rejoice in the Lord always. I was so glad the first hymn was rejoice. And you're going to hear echoes of all the hymns today in this sermon. I didn't know that, but you obviously were praying, and it's just wonderful to see how that all comes together. So rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. And once we rejoice because once we lived in darkness, but now we walk in the light. As just children of the light. And we have so much to thank God for his love and his goodness given so freely to us. And then he goes on and says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, the Greek word behind our English word gentleness is notoriously difficult to translate. You might have been having some problems saying a Greek word. I'm not going to attempt that one today. But the idea behind gentleness also has a sense of graciousness, to be gracious to people, not just here, but he talks about to be gentle and gracious to all. That's all those people out in the world where we are living and where we are working and everyone. And then there's an added little bit that goes to the Greek word that was translated into gentleness is the idea of patience, to be gentle and gracious with patience. Our gentleness and graciousness and patience is the same gentleness, graciousness, and patience Jesus had for me, Jesus had for us before we became Christians. And thank God we live in Jesus' gentleness now, day by day. The Lord is near. So, Paul says to us, do not be anxious about anything. And I think I've told you in the past that by nature I'm a worrier. And I think some people call it from time to time catastrophic worrying. You know, something happens and you just go right off the cliff about worrying. And worry creates anxiety. So I find Paul's words really hard, really difficult not to be anxious about anything, especially in our world today that creates so much anxiety. You know, I'll just say these words: cost of living, housing, inflation. Create a little anxiety, I think, in all of us. And Paul had his own anxieties. As I mentioned, he was under house arrest, but he was facing the death sentence. He was looking at dying for his faith. being anxious about that. And he writes elsewhere that he was anxious for all the churches that he planted and the people in them. Yet he knew Jesus. And he knew that he could trust him no matter what. And he advises and he invites us, God's people, not to be anxious. And then he shows us how to work through our anxiety. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I'm blessed to be a member of a praying church, this church. This church knows how to pray. Sunday by Sunday, we gather together. But also during the week, if you look at the bulletin and all the stuff that isn't in the bulletin, there are individuals and people who are praying. We pray for one another, and in doing so, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. We, the citizens of heaven, have the honor and the privilege of being able to talk to God freely through prayer, in worship, but also at home. At home, sometimes prayer is quiet and meditative, and sometimes our prayers are raw, tear-stained prayer. We don't need to dress up our prayers to God. We simply need to be real and honest, to have a heartfelt conversation with the one we love and the one who loves us so much, Jesus. And so we pray and petition God with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving partly because we stand firmly in the Lord, who not only loves us, but listens to us. Isn't that what a relationship is? Sharing with one another, talking and listening to one another. And Paul says that when we do this, God gives us an amazing gift, his peace, which passes all understanding. That peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, he says. So I'd like you to use your imaginations for a minute and just imagine, if you would, a group of maybe, I'll say, 20 soldiers. And they're in the midst of a conflict. And it's now nighttime, and some of them need to go to sleep. So what do the soldiers do? Well, some of them go to have their rest and sleep, and others form a patrol. Others of them guard those who are resting to keep them safe from the enemy. Can you see that picture in your mind of how these soldiers are walking the perimeter, making sure that those inside are safe? Well, that's the image that Paul is using here. Only he says that the difference is Jesus is our guard, protecting us day by day, guarding our hearts and our minds so that his peace, that sometimes makes no sense at all when all this stuff is happening in our lives, that he brings that peace to us that passes all understanding. And he chooses to abide with us. Now, I know some people, and you may know some people, even some people here today who take anti-anxiety medication that's been prescribed by a doctor or nurse. I'm not saying stop taking that medication. These are gifts that God gives us. But I am saying stay on it and add to it. Present your request to God by prayer, with petitions and thanksgiving. There's so much going on in the world today. Again, when I say words like Putin, Hamas, Ukraine, Israel, anxiety are all around those words. We do not know what will happen, but we can and we do pray together here and also at home for peace with justice, for the bereaved, for leaders, for hope. We pray to Jesus, who loves us so much, he was willing to die in agony on a cross for us. He knows all about fear and anxiety. Jesus lived it. That is one reason why he is near us now. That's why he desires to hear our prayer. That is why he offers us his gift of peace that passes all understanding. We are not alone. Then Paul does a lovely thing. He says the world wants us to look in a particular direction. And the first reading today in the Psalms picked this up well. This is from the Psalm. At Horeb, they, the people of God, made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. And it goes on to say, they exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them. Now, there aren't many physical calves around these days, let alone golden ones. But there are things and there are people and events that want us to exchange our glorious God for something else. They want us to forget who we are, citizens of heaven. And so, Paul says, look away from all of that. And you know the list, you know, power for the sake of power and money for the sake of money. It goes on. Stop looking at those things, he says, and look at Jesus. And he says, Jesus who is true, Jesus who is noble, who is right, who is pure, who is lovely, who is admirable. Look at Jesus who is excellent and praiseworthy. We are to think on him because his love endures forever. To be a Christian is to be in a personal relationship with Jesus. At our conversion, whether that conversion was like Paul's, kind of dramatic, or whether it takes place over a long period of time when we discovered that the God that has been talked about is my God, we discover that we're new creations and we have joy upon joy. But that new life matures over time when we press on in this lifelong journey, not by ourselves, with one another in church and with Jesus, because we are citizens of heaven, now looking forward to our resurrection when Jesus comes again. Therefore, we stand firm in Jesus in this way, and we rejoice. We become, and we are becoming gracious, gentle, patient people who pray and petition God with thanksgiving. Jesus, who does not want us to be anxious about anything, but by his grace and his power, he gives us his peace that passes all understanding. And we choose to look to Jesus, not the distractions and the false promises the world has to offer. And as we do this, we remember that Jesus is near, close to us, no matter what happens. Thanks be to God. Let's just pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for sending your Son. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are near. You're near us because you love us. And so, Holy Spirit, may your peace live in our hearts no matter what happens. And I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.